And I was saying, God commands his blessing to the faithful. He commands it. Look back on your life and see your posture. When you didn't think anyone was looking, God was watching you. When you thought you were alone in that field with that sheep, God was watching you, just like David. When you were folding that laundry, God was watching you. When you made lasagna or whatever for that sick person in your church, God was watching you. When you took the brunt, these people are in ministry, the brunt of the criticism that you didn't even cause, but you bellied up to the criticism and offered counsel to the person that was criticizing, God was watching your heart. And what you're experiencing now is a season of favor because of your faithfulness.
It's time now for the Autumn Miles Show.
Guys, it is your girl, Autumn Miles, coming back to you with another brand new, super fresh, super exciting podcast this week. For real, I am very excited about part two of Favor Follows Faithfulness. You want the favor of man? You want the favor of God? You want everything that goes with it? Guess what? It is found after faithfulness. We are going to talk about my boy, David, after the break. It's going to be so good. I was pumped. I could have preached this message this morning at 6:30, but I had to wait until my time to record with my team. And so I'm ready. I got God's word open in front of me. It's fresh. It's highlighted. It's circled. It's ready to go. Okay. I hope you guys are doing well. I just want to say thank you for coming up to me and talking to me about the podcast. I see you guys out and about every once in a while. You know, I'll see you and you'll wave at me and I'll be like, I don't know who that is, but God bless them. But every once in a while, I have someone come up and talk to me about the podcast. And it just seems like there's been a lot of people do that lately. And I want to say thank you publicly. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. We put a lot of work into this. A lot of people's minds, time, expertise, gifts go into producing what I think is, you know, a fun, great podcast for you guys. So thank you for listening. Those of you guys that have been listening for like a second, I really appreciate it. And those of you that are brand new, welcome. We love you so much. And I'm so glad that you have found a place where you can come back to and know you're going to hear the word of God. You need a word, you get to come over to this podcast that God has given our team to get it. That means the world to me. That is why I am on the planet. One of the reasons why I'm on the planet is to make God's word, which is incredibly complex, practical and applicable for your everyday life. I need it that way. I don't speak Hebrew. I don't speak all these languages, but when I became a believer, that was my main goal. How do we make something complex that people might not understand or might not have thought about? How do we make it applicable to everyday life? Because a lot of people know the word, but do a lot of people apply the word? It has to be applicable. So thank you for coming on. I love you. If you're new, I want you guys to go to hello@autumnmiles.com. Shoot me an email. We collect testimonies of what God is doing in your life. Okay. So if God has done something amazing and you want to tell us, I want to cultivate, stir, ignite your faith. And one of the ways that we do that is you sharing your faith. I want to know if God's healed you from cancer. I want to know if that wayward child's come back. I want to know if your car didn't start this morning, but it's starting this evening. I want to know. That is a tangible testimony of the goodness of God in your life. So email me. We monitor it. We read them. We love you. We love to see them. A lot of times Amanda and I will cry when we hear them. We've got a good one today. I love to hear from you. And I love that they're always different. but they're always, you know, giving God the glory for what he's done. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Okay. It is crazy town season over here. It's absolutely crazy. We just had Mother's Day. We just had my 20th wedding anniversary, which is crazy. We have a kid graduating high school in a week. This is no less than a week, less than a week. So I never understood the stress of getting a kid graduated. I mean, you know, raising a kid for almost 19 years, that's one thing. But then I never realized how stressful the month of May is before one of your kids graduates. I feel like it could be somebody's full-time job. It's like the party, the parents coming in town, the everyone coming in town, the invitation. It is like totally crazy. So our life is full, very full right now. But there is something I want to talk about because I just think it's funny. My mom, who you heard 2 weeks ago on the podcast, you know, we all of us kids live far away from her. And we love my parents. We love to go visit my parents, but none of us have lived where we grew up for a long time. Like, I've lived apart from my parents now longer than I ever lived with them, like years longer. And so all of us live far away. The Lord has really taken all of us in different places over the years. Therefore, the prized Mother's Day card is incredibly important. Now, my brother, God bless him. You know, my mom will get my brother's Mother's Day card, oh, I don't know, like, I don't know, in July. If it comes. I mean, he's just not the greatest with that. Heather and I, Heather is my sister, we try to get it on time. But last week, I woke up on Tuesday, and I had already sent my mom a gift, okay? And I thought, oh my gosh. Remember, we record a week in advance. So last week was technically Mother's Day week. I woke up, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I sent her the gift, but did not send her the cards. I had to record. I came to record. I was so stressed out because I was like, I got to get through this because I got to get it in the mail. Anyone else, like, you got to get the card in the mail because I love my mom and she is amazing, but she likes her Mother's Day cards and she likes them on Mother's Day, not on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of the next week. She wants to get it on Mother's Day. And I understand, as a mom of four, it's important, okay? I go to the UPS office. First of all, I go get all cards because the little ones give her a card. Eddie and I give her a card. And then Jude and Grace give her a card. I go to their school. I take all four of my children out of school. In the front office, I'm like, you have to sign this card because I'm sending it to grandma, okay? I get up super early in the morning, buy the cards, come record. Then I go take them out of school and tell them you have to fill this out. Mom forgot, you know, the whole thing. Okay. They fill out the cards. I go to the UPS office. Thank God for overnight delivery. But overnight delivery to ship three greeting cards was like over $100. I'm like, that is crazy. I'm not paying that. Like, that is crazy. So I'm like, what's next? This is on Tuesday. What's next to ensure that it will get there by Saturday? It has to get there by Saturday because the mail didn't come on Sunday. Well, here's this other option. And I'm like, okay, so if I pay this amount of money with these cards, they're going to get there by Saturday, potentially. I'm looking at this lady and I'm like, no, I need guaranteed. I'm not going to pay the $100, but what's next? Guaranteed it gets there by Saturday. You don't understand. You do not understand. They have to get there. And this lady, she had to be a mom because she was like, no, I totally understand. We're going to do this for you. We're going to make this work for you. $100 is crazy, but you know, whatever. I had a whole line of workers at the UPS store nodding and laughing because I'm like, this has to get to my mom. It was a greeting card. Okay. So she tells me potentially could get there. It's supposed to get there. I think, I don't know if they're not allowed to say 100% confirmation. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they're allowed to do that or not, but she was like, listen, it's confirmed to get there on Friday, but things happen. And I'm like, my life, things are going to happen. And my mom's not going to get her card. Finally, she said, which is, I think is what my heart needed. Pending an act of God, these will get there by Saturday. And I looked at her and I was like, okay, that's exactly what I needed to hear, because God is for me. So he is for my Mother's Day cards getting there to my mom on Saturday before Mother's Day. And I paid the extremely expensive rate to ship 3 greeting cards to my mom via UPS. But guess what? They got there on Saturday. My mom sent me a picture. I felt good about myself. My brother makes me look really good every Mother's Day because he doesn't send his Mother's Day card until July. So I'm really happy about that. She got him. She loved him. I'm happy to report. And a lot of you guys, we've heard from you about how much you enjoyed that podcast with my mom. And I have to say, I did too. And she was great. So that's what's happening in my life. I have stress just like you. Like, that was stressful. You know, I have more stress than that, but that was a stressful thing in my life. Anyway, that is what's happening in my life. After the break, we are going to hit hard. Favor follows faithfulness, according to King David. I'll see you in a sec.
Holy flow. Yeah. Holy flow. God took all my punishment, said I don't need a O. Yeah, I don't need a O. All this sinning, get behind me, because you know that you gotta go. Gotta go. If it's dark versus light, score gonna be 20, yo. Yeah, 20, yo. With my pen on the pad, devil gonna sit on a tech.
The potential for God to change lives is clear. Autumn Miles has a mission to spiritually challenge the way people think. The Autumn Miles Show and Autumn Miles Ministries are 100% listener-supported by those who have already been blessed by God's Word. Would you like to see others experience the change that you have already experienced? Consider being a financial partner with this life-changing ministry. Simply go to autumnmiles.com and click the Donate tab. While you're there, check out all the aspects of this dynamic work. Thank you for supporting Autumn with your prayers and by being a financial partner. God bless you.
With my pen on the pad, devil gonna sit on a tech.
Okay, guys, we are back with Favor Follows Faithfulness. Last week, I wasn't prepared for last week to go the way that it did. I was actually prepared to have maybe two messages on this, but I've just realized how sometimes we disrespect our own faithfulness. And we don't understand that there is a reward. The Bible actually tells us that there is a reward for our work. What you reap, you will sow. And I made the point last week when I talked about King David, which was at the beginning of my message, just David. And then at the end of my message, he was King David. I made the point last week how faithfulness is not cool. It's not like, you know, it's not like, wow, awesome. Let me be faithful for 10 years. It's not something that oftentimes it's mundane. Oftentimes it's, you know, it can be boring. It can be frustrating. You can delve into some self-pity sometimes when you keep showing up and you feel like it's kind of a thankless thing. But the beauty of faithfulness is that favor chases it. Have you ever seen two kids? I know you have. If you have kids like mine, they chase each other all the time. I have to like get onto them 24/7 about Moses chasing Haven around the house or outside around the pool. Nobody is allowed to chase each other around the pool because I'm that person that I'm like, you're going to fall. You're going to crack your head open. And then I'm going to, you know, we're going to have to take you to the hospital and all this kind of stuff. So I don't let him run around the pool. But at the pool, out in the backside of my house, when they do run, they're real close to each other because it's a close space. And I see Moses or Haven ahead, and I see the other one following right behind them. That is favor with faithfulness. It chases it. It's chaser, okay? The two can be found together. Now, the timetable is not, you know, sometimes it's not immediate. I mean, David had to be faithful for a long time before he was actually anointed king, but actually took the position of king, but he was anointed when God saw that he had been faithful to tending the flock for years for his father. Now, he also saw his heart, and he saw that faithfulness was in his heart. So at an early age, David had been faithful enough for God to say, this is my guy, okay? And we know that because of the text where David is talking to Saul about, listen, Goliath ain't nothing. I killed a bear. I killed a lion. God was with me. We see his faithful heart when no one knew who he was, okay? Favor chases faithfulness. It might take months for it to manifest. It might take years for it to manifest, but it is following after faithfulness. And, you know, I had several conversations this week about this, which is why I'm going to make it a three-parter. When people all of a sudden, you know, they've been faithful. I know this one couple very specifically that I've talked to about this very issue and for an entire week. They've been faithful. They've showed up. They've showed up when it's hard. They've showed up to serve their church when everyone was leaving and the church was splitting. They've showed up to counsel people when the people eventually turned their back on them. They've showed up. They've done the thing. They have remained faithful to the Lord, faithful to the house of God. They've served. And they are right now, you guys, in this season of almost embarrassing favor, where you look around and you think, what is happening? All of these things are, these chips are kind of falling into place for them. And all of these people are giving them things. And they, you know, they don't even know why they're giving them things. They just know that they're giving them things. And I had two separate conversations with this couple. And I was saying, God commands his blessing to the faithful. He commands it. Look back on your life and see your posture. When you didn't think anyone was looking, God was watching you. When you thought you were alone in that field with that sheep, God was watching you, just like David. When you were folding that laundry, God was watching you. When you made lasagna or whatever for that sick person in your church, God was watching you. When you took the brunt, these people are in ministry, the brunt of the criticism that you didn't even cause, but you bellied up to the criticism and offered counsel to the person that was criticizing, God was watching your heart. And what you're experiencing now is a season of favor because of your faithfulness. I feel compelled to talk about this because I know that's where a lot of you guys are. You think that God has forgotten you, but actually his eyes are on you and he is watching your faithfulness. That's the beauty of God. When nobody sees, he sees. When your husband doesn't see, when your wife doesn't see, when your boss doesn't see, he sees. And that's how we gain favor. Favor follows faithfulness. So we talked about that last week. I love the fact that I kind of got, I stopped when Samuel was looking around for who God actually wanted to anoint king. And he went through all of the sons of Jesse. And God kept saying, that ain't it. That ain't it. He ain't it. It's not it. No, 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 no. And so he said, and I'm going to pick up this verse, 1 Samuel 16:11. It says this, and Samuel said to Jesse, are these all your children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. And behold, he is tending the sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes. Now, I want to move into part two of this, but God really showed me something that I want to kind of piggyback on part one. Samuel says to Jesse, we're not sitting down until you bring me that boy. Verse 12, so we went and brought him in. Now he was ready, handsome. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Now, God showed me this one particular point, and I want to make it, and then we're going to move on to gaining the faithfulness of men. We talked last week about gaining the faithfulness of God. This week, we're going to talk about gaining the faithfulness of men or man or woman. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. Now, I had this conversation with my husband last night about this passage because this is all I read yesterday. I was rereading the passage to refresh my memory for, you know, what we were going to talk about today. And I could not get over this one point. Yes, David was forgotten. They go get him. They bring him in. And this is the crazy thing about this anointing. Samuel made all the brothers watch. He made Jesse watch. He made all the brothers watch. Every single one of his brothers, who had probably bullied him, made fun of him. He's the youngest, so God only knows what they did to him. They all stood and watched their baby brother not just be anointed over them, but over the entire nation of Israel. God made them watch. As I was talking to my husband, I thought, I wonder if this is partially what David talks about in Psalm 23. He will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies, because in the next chapter, we see the animosity between David's brothers and David when he brings them lunch. They make fun of him because he wants to go fight Goliath. I want to tell you something about when God has his hand on your life and you feel like you've been overlooked. Maybe there are people in your life that have spoken down to you, that have condescended to you, that there's just a hierarchy where you feel like you're not listened to. Maybe you're shut down. In David's life, when he was anointed, all of those people had to watch it. And there is something so powerful about the way God elevates his faithful kids, that people that have wronged you, bullied you, made fun of you, there's animosity there. Maybe they've hurt you. Maybe you haven't sought revenge over that. But God has a way of elevating his faithful ones, that those that have mistreated you will watch and can do nothing about. Those brothers, they couldn't argue with Samuel. I mean, I dare them to. struck them with the power of God. In that moment, there was no more making fun of David because he was the youngest. Or Jesse could no longer look at his son David as the least of these. In an instant, he is elevated to a position that's not just over the brothers, that's over the dad, that's actually over generations and generations of people, an entire nation, and in his bloodline would come, from his bloodline would come Jesus himself. This did something to my heart yesterday, and it just did something to my heart. We have all had people that have looked at us and, you know, spoken down to us or condescended to us, or, you know, they think they're in a higher position than us. And so they kind of treat us like that. But when we've been faithful, God has a way of shutting the mouths of everyone around us when he elevates us with his favor. All those brothers watched. I just would have loved to be a fly on the wall in that room where it's like, wow. Okay, David, I see you. Oh, well, I guess we can't, you know, call him that name anymore. I guess we can't do that to him anymore. I mean, he will be the king. He is the king of Israel. So, you know, he could basically call for our execution. I mean, do you see the beauty of the favor of God when we're faithful? Things like this happen. Things like walking into a season of unexplained blessing happen, like that is happening with this couple I'm talking to. And the reason is because the currency of their favor was their faithfulness. I just couldn't get over it. I want to move into this new segment on week two because I had to go over that because to me it was powerful. And I do believe it is ministered to someone today. I want to move into how we gain the favor of man. Now, once you have the favor of God, the favor of man is soon to follow. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, sometimes you're drawn to people and you don't know why you're drawn to people, but they just have this ease about them, this grace about them, and you're drawn to talk to them. You know, those types of people. I know several people like that where I'm like, it doesn't make any sense, but you're just kind of drawn to them. You know, a lot of times it's the Holy Spirit drawing you to himself in that person. But when it comes to the favor of man, once you have the favor of God, the favor of man is soon to follow. Okay. Now his brothers had animosity towards him, but I'm going to introduce you to a scene where he received the favor of man from the king. Here we go. Now, verse 14, 1 Samuel 16:14. Now the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Now, as soon as David was anointed, he's anointed king, blam, you're king, congratulations, okay? Now the spirit of God, this is the next verse, the spirit of God departed from Saul and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. So when David was anointed, he immediately gained the spirit of God. And the spirit of God rested on him. That same time, next verse, the spirit of God departed from Saul. And it says an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. Now, this is interesting. I do want to bring it up because I'm your girl who's going to walk into all of these little landmines in the scripture where you're like, I'm just going to skip over that because that doesn't make any sense. This happened. God sent Saul a terrorizing spirit. And that's what the Bible says. This happened. I believe there were a lot of reasons for this to happen. Number one, Saul disobeyed God, period. So when he disobeyed God, that's when God said, I'm going to anoint a different king. And Samuel was really upset about it, but God said, get over yourself. This is what I'm going to do. This could be, I am reading into this text, but from just the way I see it, this could be a consequence of Saul clearly doing the opposite of what God had said. Okay. Number two, a second reason for this. I believe another reason that God would have sent him an evil spirit is to accomplish an audience between Saul and David. God uses anything to accomplish his plan. I refer you back to my series on Job. God allowed Satan to come in and wreak havoc on Job's life. He allowed it, okay? It could be God saying, okay, I'm going to do this because David needs an audience with Saul. And this is the vehicle that I am going to use in order to produce that meeting so that Saul has an awareness that David is around and David gets a feel for what it's like to be around the king. That's another reason why this could have happened. Okay. A third thing I want to point out about this. God sent him an evil spirit, period. You can't argue with the text. That's what it says. One thing that is comforting to me is knowing that that spirit had to obey God. It did not have the opportunity to say, no, I'm good. I'm good, God. I'm not going to go hang out with Saul. I'm good. It had to do what God commanded it to do, which tells me and comforts me to know that this spirit was subject to the authority of God himself. We look at this text and a lot of people are like, I don't understand. Let's just skip over that one. But I think we need to look at these texts a little bit harder and understand that there are reasons that God allows, and even in this case, sent Saul an evil spirit in order to produce his ultimate plan in David's life and in Saul's life. And that's exactly what happened. Verse 15, Saul's servant then said to Saul, behold, now an evil spirit from God is terrorizing you. I just think this is interesting that these servants are like, dude, you are like there's something happening here. Like, this is weird. You know, you can feel it when you're like, man, they're being oppressed. The people around Saul knew it. They could feel it. They could sense it. And they are the ones that actually, they love Saul. It's very, very clear. So they reached out to Saul and said, hey, let's do something about this. We need someone that can help. So what they did, and this is the sovereign hand of God. Verse 16, let our Lord, talking about Saul, not the Lord, now command your servants who are before you. Let them seek a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall come about when the evil spirit from God, they knew it was from God. They also knew that Saul had just massively disobeyed God. They knew it. It's almost as if they could sense that Saul messed up and he was kind of paying the piper for what he did. And it shall come about when the evil spirit from God is on you that he shall play the harp with his hand and you will be well. So Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. Then one of the young men said, behold, it's like all of a sudden this guy gets this idea, like he's so smart. You know, God planted that idea in this young servant's heart. Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is a skillful musician, a mighty man of valor, a warrior, one prudent in speech, and a handsome man, and the Lord is with him. Now, I want to stop there for multiple reasons. Here we have his servants taking notice. Saul's servants are like, we gotta do something about this. Like, this is not okay. And they're the ones that came up with the solution. Now, did God place it in their heart? Yeah, probably he did. Okay. To bring about the meeting between Saul and David and to introduce David into a lifestyle that he had no idea about. Okay. It's interesting what people that work in rooms of like heads of state or like, you know, really celebrities or something like that. Even if they work in the room, even if they're, I mean, maybe a server or something like that, there is an awareness of a decorum that goes on in those rooms that in order for David to ascend to the throne, he needed to be educated in. Okay. So here God is clearly orchestrating this meeting between the two. Okay. This is fascinating. God did not use in this instant. Now, I believe that he chose David because of a shepherding gift, but Saul chose him because of his harp playing gift. He was skillful with the harp. That's interesting. You know, we get the book of Psalms, which means songs. Have you ever thought of the fact that the reason that we have the book of Psalms, which are mostly written by David, is because he was a skilled harpist? And that's what he did. Probably when he was out there with the sheep, he was like, you know, playing all different kinds of songs. It was another talent that he had. My son for Mother's Day, I love my son. I love both of my sons. But my older son for Mother's Day wrote me a song, and he has the gift of song. And this gift of song, he likes to rap. You guys will see him. You'll hear him on the intros and outros of my commercials and stuff like that. And we do that on purpose because I want to celebrate the gift that God has placed in him. And because he is continuing to grow his gift, it's got the attention of a lot of people. He just got a text last week about being a drummer for a band, and a Christian band. And we were like, yeah, you could definitely go do that, you know. But when you're skillful and you've worked on a gift and you've worked on a talent, you know, God takes notice of our hearts and our faithfulness. Man, a lot of times, takes notice of our talent and our skill. And in this moment, God is utilizing something that David had perfected, that he knew that would resonate with someone like a head of state, which would be King Saul. But I want to tell you this. It wasn't just his musical ability that got him chosen. It was his character and, okay. Behold, this servant said, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite who is a skillful musician. And I want to go down this list because I think it's important. He's number one. That's the first thing. Now, God was looking at his heart. Man was looking at his talent. You see the difference there? God anointed him based on his heart and his faithfulness. Man chose him because of his talent. Okay. God will use anything to bring about his favor in your life. He knows what appeals to man. And a lot of times he uses your talent as a tool to elevate you to a position of favor. And that is exactly what was happening here. God wanted David, king of Israel, and that's what happened. But there was a journey that had to happen because King Saul couldn't see his heart, but he could see his talent. Let me tell you something. Ooh, I just feel like this is so good. I wish I had someone in front of me saying amen, because I'm saying amen in my spirit. What you've been perfecting, what you've been working on, what you have been dreaming for, have an expectation that God is going to use it. When I was a kid, there's a picture of me that I've talked about a few times. And you guys, I'm telling you this just because, I don't know, I feel like being vulnerable these days. I grew up in the 80s, so there you go. It's a boom box. And it's a tape player. It has two tape decks. Remember when you could like hit record on, you could get blank tapes and you could hit record and you could record, if you had a two tape deck, what the other tape deck was playing, you know, to make a copy of your tape, your mixtape. It was one of those. I could carry it around. And I remember when I was in high school, I got A's in speech. I mean, I like hundreds in speech. I was really good at speech. And I remember thinking, no one ever told me that. Like, I love my parents, but I don't think they knew at that point. I was really good technically, doing what the teacher wanted me to do. And, you know, I'd say all the time, my other grades weren't great, but I was really good when it came to communication. At a young age, I had things published in the newspaper and, you know, all of this stuff. And I could see God then churning my spirit. Everyone in my family is musical. My brother has been a worship pastor for years, and he lays track for professionally, the bass guitar professionally. Both my parents sing, my sister sing, my sister sang at our wedding, for goodness sake. I mean, my whole family is musical, and I never wanted to do any of that because I don't know how to harmonize with anyone, even though I'm going to sing like Mariah Carey when I get to heaven. But I always wanted to share what was on my heart. And there is this scene, there's a picture that my family has of me, and it can make me cry if I think about it, sitting with this tape deck. And my brother had walked in the room with one of those disposable cameras because they had just came out, guys. They were all the rage. And he snapped a picture of me, and I'm so glad that he did, because I was embarrassed, but in that moment, it froze that moment for me, or I would have forgotten about it. I was recording myself talk to play it back to hear what it sounded like. I had no idea what God was going to use me to do as an adult. I had no idea how he was going to manifest that in my life. But I began honing that skill of communication. And how do you communicate? And what do you communicate? You have to have something to say. You know, a lot of people just think, well, I'm just going to rely on the Holy Spirit. Well, that's great. I do too. But you got to have some content that the Holy Spirit can, you know, work through from his word. And I remember honing that gift. And, you know, every time I was offered a small group, I would say, yeah, I want to speak to that. Any sort of stage, anything, I would say, yeah, I want to do that because I wanted to perfect that gift. I remember at one time I was offered a position to lead regionally. I don't want to get it wrong. Maybe it was Youth for Christ. I don't actually remember. It might've been Youth for Christ. I would have been the regional leader for that in my, you know, small town. And then I began teaching in the public schools and doing that. And I was all the time honing my gift, make it skillful. And here I am 18, 19 years old. And that's what I'm doing. I'm investing in something that I love. I was becoming skillful at that at a young age. Had no idea I was going to go through a divorce. I was going to go and start to speaking at conferences and I was going to be on TV and all of these fancy places. I had no idea that was in my future. I'm going to have a radio show for 7 years, going to write op-eds, write books. I had no idea that was in my future. Thousands of you listen to this every single, I had no idea this was in my future, but this is what I knew. This is something that I need to become skillful in. How do you know that at the age of 16? You don't. God places it in you because he knows one day it's going to catch the favor of man. Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful musician. Talent was the first thing he talked about. A mighty man of valor, a warrior, one prudent in speech, and a handsome man, and the Lord is with him. Now, this is the beautiful thing about this. It wasn't just the talent that they were attracted to. It was the first thing that they were attracted to. His talent met a need that King Saul had, and your talent meets a need that somebody has. He got recognized because of his talent. He got hired because of all those other things. I know a guy. Not only is he skillful and a musician, he's a man of valor, warrior. He's prudent in speech. Handsome, and the Lord is with him. What qualities do you think that you need to have in order to play the harp for the king? Valor, a warrior, prudent in speech, a handsome man. Well, I mean, I don't know if that's necessary, but hey, he had it, so he listed it. And the Lord is with him. He was recognized because of his talent. He was hired because of all the other things. Listen, I think that this is powerful. The thing that you're working on, the thing that you're honing, the thing that you're investing in, the thing that you do, when you're skillful at it, it does bring you to a place of favor. But what keeps you there is the character that David had. 19. So Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son, David, who is with the flock. Now, I love this and I want to act it out a little bit because I feel like Jesse feels really bad about not inviting him to the anointing king ceremony at this point. Samuel, now Saul has no idea that Samuel has anointed David king. The text doesn't say that. And it was not said by this young man. And by the way, he was just anointed king in your place. I don't think Saul would have hired him if Saul would have had that kind of intelligence on David. So he sends a message to Jesse. Samuel had already been to Jesse's house. He sends a message to Jesse and says, hey, dude, I want your son. I need him. I need his skills. I need his musician skills. What is Jesse going to do? What is Jesse thinking? The prophet had just been there, and then the king's messengers are just there, all for the same boy. He will prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. Now, I'm not saying Jesse was an enemy, but Jesse did David dirty by not inviting him to the anointing. I am sorry. That is what happened. And I think as my dad, if my dad would invite Heather and David to something and would totally forget about me, like that would really bother me forever. So God is making a point, not just to the brothers who had to watch him be anointed. God is doubling down on Jesse. Dude, you know that Jesse came out of that situation and thought, okay, Samuel just anointed king, and now the king is calling for him. Do not take revenge yourself when you have been offended. We live in a world where everyone's offended all the time. It drives me nuts. Everyone's offended all the time. Guess what? Surrender that offense to the Lord and say, God, you take care of it. You deal with it. Yeah, they did me wrong. They did me dirty. Not cool, not fair, not good. It hurt me, but Lord, you take care of it. God is now doubling down on Jesse with his favor for his youngest son, who he did not even invite to be anointed as king. I just love that. Verse 20, Jesse took a donkey, loaded it with bread and a jug of wine and a young goat and sent them to Saul by David, his son. 21, then David came to Saul and attended him. Now, this is where the faithfulness comes in. David came to Saul and attended him, and Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And I'm going to read through, and then I'm going to go back. Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David now stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. Verse 23. So it came about whenever the evil spirit from God came to Saul, David would take a harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would be refreshed and be well, and the evil spirit would depart from him. Okay, let me bring this home. David goes, and this precious kid surrenders his whole life to serve King Saul. Everything he knew. He had a peanut butter and jelly, a juice box, and a goat. And he shows up. Could you imagine showing up to, like, I don't know, some palace somewhere with a peanut butter and jelly, a juice box, and a goat? That's what David had. He walks into the palace where he knows he's looking around and he's going, this is not, I am not in Kansas anymore. This is not where I'm from. And he submits to Saul and attends him. I want to make this point. David knows he's king. That just shot chills through my arms. David knows. David knows he is Saul's replacement. But Saul doesn't know David's his replacement. Knowing he is king, he attends the guy he is going to replace faithfully. He submits and serves the guy he is going to replace faithfully. So faithful that Saul sends a message to Jesse saying, let David now stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. You know what David could have done? He could have walked in there. He could have thrown his weight around. He could have called for Samuel to say, come here, buddy. I want you to tell Saul what you just told me. I'm now the new king. I am dripping with the presence of the Lord. He could have made a spectacle. And you know what? He had every right to. But his character forbid it. And because of his continual faithfulness and continual humility and grace with Saul, knowing he's going to replace him, he found favor with the guy he was going to ascend to the throne as the next king of Israel. This is so counterculture. It's so counter what our culture says. think I said it last week, you know, we don't want to put in the work of faithfulness because it is work. And there's lots of years when nobody sees except for the Lord. But David was first favored by God based on his faithfulness. And now we see it trickling over to the king because of his faithfulness. Keep being faithful. Do not stop. And this is what I hear from the Lord as I'm talking. I hear from the Lord that I feel like the questions going on in your head right now is, I'm so tired. I'm tired of showing up. I'm tired of not being thanked. I'm tired of being condescended to. I don't want to do that anymore. Nobody cares anyway. Nobody sees anyway. I'm going to stop. And I just hear the Lord saying, press on. Because there is a season of favor that is coming. Remember, favor chases faithfulness. It's like its shadow. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's from King David. Keep being faithful. Favor's on the way. Lord, we love you today. Your word, God, is so precious. Your word, God, I feel that mom that needed this word from your word, that mom who has been so faithful and she's exhausted. She wants to, I don't know. Lord, remind her that seasons of favor are coming. You see everything. Lord, I pray for that person that is in a role that is getting maybe bullied by their superior. I pray that this encourages them. Stay with it. I pray for that person that's been faithful for years. They don't feel your favor, but you know they have it. God, you bless our faithfulness. And we will never outdo your faithfulness to us. You are more faithful than we are. And I pray that you would just encourage those hearts with this message of our boy David. Long before he was known, this is how he started. Encourage us, Lord. Encourage them, Lord, with your word and with your truth to keep going. In Jesus' name, amen. I love y'all. I thought that was great. And I say that because this passage of scripture is just, it's like a warm hug. So I hope it encouraged you. I'll see you after the break for a testimony and a question. I'll be back in a sec.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Holy flow, yeah, holy flow. God took all my punishment, said I don't need a O. Yeah, I don't need a O. All this sinning, get behind me, cause you know that you gotta go. Gotta go. If it's dark versus light, score gonna be 20, yo. Yeah, 20, yo. With my pin on the pad. Devil gonna sit on a tech.
Looking for a passionate speaker to bring the word of God for your next conference or church function? We've got the girl for you. Autumn Miles is the founder of the Autumn Miles Ministries with the goal of spiritually challenging the way people think. Autumn is dedicated to teaching the Bible in an engaging and relatable way so that everyone can experience the Lord in a deeper way. Autumn is a survivor of domestic abuse, and she's passionate about educating the church on how to effectively assist victims. Her message of hope and healing has been shared on the big stage internationally. Autumn is devoted to spiritually challenging people to draw closer to God. She is a passionate advocate for the Word of God, women, domestic violence victims, and adoption. So what are you waiting for? You can book Autumn for your next speaking engagement today. Just go to autumnmiles.com. Once there, just search the top of the index for the Invite Autumn tab. Click on it and scroll down for more information. Once again, that's autumnmiles.com.
With my pin on the pad, devil gonna sit on a tech.
Okay, guys, we are back, and I'm gonna do a testimony first. I am 4 years sober. I found a church and faithfully serve every week. I don't need to be in the spotlight and definitely don't want to be in the spotlight. Last week, my pastor took me out to lunch and offered me the opportunity to lead an AA group. He didn't realize I'd been talking to my sponsor about opportunities to lead a group and actually was praying for them for the right time and place. I've been struggling with my purpose recently, and this felt like God speaking directly into that. I'm so thankful. I love this because the Spirit of God is in your pastor and your leadership and in you. And he just connected the two right there. So I love that God uses our past. I love that God uses what we've been through for his glory. And this is absolutely amazing. So go lead that AA group. Your AmFam team is right behind you. We are so proud of you. That is amazing. I love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. Question. I am in leadership. Now, this is a little dicey one. I'm in leadership and I feel like I don't have many people advocating for me in my church. And I'm pretty sure it's because I'm a woman. Do you have any recommendations or resources on where to go to get direction or advocacy? I thought about this question for a while, and I really want you to understand that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit in our life is to advocate for us. I mean, that's what he does. He puts us on people's hearts. You know, he is our helper. He is our guide. He comes to our defense. So there are tons and tons of resources out there, and I want to speak from my heart here. I have been involved in churches where women are celebrated, and I have been involved in churches where they are not. The biggest advice that I can give you that will require patience is let the Holy Spirit advocate for you. Unfortunately, this is a dicey subject that some churches hesitate on. If you are in that type of church, your best advocate is not a group, it is the Holy Spirit. I have had to use this exact same method in my life a lot. When we put out the series on domestic violence in the church, I went and sat before, I don't even know how many individuals who were all very well-meaning, but there was a weird vibe that I was speaking with authority on some of this stuff and was a woman. And I remember praying through that time, and I knew exactly what it was. I remember praying. I had one interview very in particular where the guy was, God bless him, extremely condescending to me because I was a woman. And he told me that, which is fine. But I remember thinking in that moment, Lord, you're going to have to be my advocate here. You're going to have to give me the words that settles in his heart why I'm doing this work. And you know, that interview turned out really, really great. I think he was taken aback by how I responded to some things. But when you're in a situation of leadership, let God do the advocacy for you. I would also give you this piece of advice. You say you're in leadership, a church. Have you ever thought about going directly to the pastor of the church and asking him his stance on women in leadership? I think that is also a good place to start. We can get really frustrated, and sometimes we just need to have a conversation, an open conversation. And sometimes you might just preface it and say, this is going to be awkward, but I got to know. Where do you stand on this? And is there an opportunity for advancement for me here in leadership? And if there's not, maybe you have a different decision to make. But I understand your heart. I feel so much for this question because I have been you a lot. And we're in a place that celebrates women in leadership and in ministry positions, thank God, or I wouldn't be there, obviously. But I think those are two pieces of advice I would give you. Number one, the Holy Spirit is your advocate. He is your defense. Let him promote you. And number two, have a conversation with the pastor of the church and ask him his views on this so you'll know if there's opportunity for advancement. Okay. I love you guys so much. I hope this week helped you. God bless you all. I will see you next week for part three of Favor Follows Faithfulness. I'll see you then. Let's go. Hey.
Thanks for tuning in to the Autumn Miles Show. Be sure to follow Autumn on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube to stay connected and in the loop with what's happening with the ministry. Just search for Autumn Miles in your internet browser. AutumnMiles.com is also the place where you can book Autumn for your next speaking engagement. She is devoted to spiritually challenging people and the way that they think. She is a passionate advocate for the Word of God, women, domestic violence victims, and adoption. Reach out today and book Autumn for your next speaking engagement. Just go to AutumnMiles.com. Once you're there, search the top of the index for the Invite Autumn tab, then scroll down for more information. Thanks again for joining us today. Be sure to tune in next time for another episode of the Autumn Miles Show.